We've been talking about seeds and sowing and growing and watering and reaping. And we've been talking about God giving the rain so there'd be bread for the eater and all of that. And so I just want to read a little story, seeing we have the kids in here tonight as well, about bread. And it's a very famous story you will know because it's about Jesus feeding 5,000 people with some fishes and loaves. I bet you have all heard of this story. Maybe it'll sound a little different, but I wrote this sitting looking over Galilee where this happened in the Holy Land, in Israel. And we had a group with us, and after they were just wandering around, looking at everything and realizing this was where Jesus did this and we are here. And people just sitting down on the hillside imagining the story. I just took a pen and pencil and did what I enjoy doing most, just wrote my own story. It's called The Boy. Here is a boy, a small boy, an old boy. He's off to hear Jesus preach and maybe see a miracle. Instead, he gets to be a miracle. My, what a lot of people, thought the boy, wriggling his way to the center of the crowd so he could see. And then he heard the voice. First, it sounded like a waterfall. No, more like a wind. You know, a wind in the top of the trees. And the small boy looked at the trees on the hillside. They were all as still as could be. Yet it sounded as if the wind blew. The words the voice spoke were quite simple, so very simple, but he remembered his father saying that the truth of God is simple, so that all may understand. The high, the low, the clever, and those that lack knowledge, the old, the young, yea, even the young like a boy, a small boy, an old boy. The boy's father was right. Because something simple doesn't mean it's not simply profound. The wonderful day passed, and the boy was hungry. It was way, way past lunch, but no one had wanted Jesus to stop teaching the wonderful words of God in order to eat until now. And suddenly everyone was sitting down in little groups, and a man, quite rough and ready, appeared as the small boy was unpacking his lunch his mother had sent with him. "What do you have there, boy?" the man asked. "Then come with me." And so the small boy did. Now he could see the voice. And Jesus, whose voice it was, repeated the man's question. "What do you have there, boy?" "Oh my," thought the boy. "I've got a hunch. He wants my lunch." The boy had the strangest idea that Jesus hadn't needed to ask "what do you have there" question, that he knew all about the loaves and fish, that he'd even counted them, that Jesus of Nazareth, a poor man who'd come to make many rich, a meek man who'd come to make many strong, knew exactly all about everything, which of course he did. The God-man who'd come to save the world smiled. And just for a mighty moment, the world stopped for a child. And the small boy, the all boy, gave Jesus everything he had in his hands. Not one fish and a couple of loaves like we do. Not half a loaf. Not leftovers. He didn't share his lunch with Jesus. He gave his lunch to Jesus. He gave it all. What a wonderful word is all.
It was... it was a cold, cold morning. I walked out of the house to where my car was parked under a pile of snow. I got in, put the key in the ignition, and I got a beautiful sound. uh, 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 And I realized my car would not stop. So I got out of the car, went round to the front, lifted the hood, looked inside. It was black and oily and greasy, and I did not understand one single thing about it. What to do? Then I had an idea. I had a friend called Donnie Couchman. And Donnie understood cars. So I went back into the house and I called Donnie. And I said, "Donnie, my car won't start." He said, "Then it's either the spark or the fuel." And that wasn't what I wanted to hear. I said, yeah, I know it's the spark or the fuel, but I was wondering if you could come and get it started for me." So he said, "Sure." So I went in the house because I knew how long it would take him to come. And then when I thought it was about time for him to arrive, I went out and looked under the hood again, trying to look intelligent, and failed. Donnie arrived. He was very well known in the area in those days because he drove a dune buggy. He drove a dune buggy in the middle of a Wisconsin winter. I have unusual friends. He jumped out of his dune buggy and he said, "Well, it's either the spark or the fuel." I said, "Yeah, I know that. You told me that." He said, "Well, here, hold this." So he gave me a great big screwdriver. And so I held it there like the Statue of Liberty. He said, "No, not there. Put it down here." And he got my arm and he pushed it down inside the dark, greasy, oily, incomprehensible recesses of the engine. He said, "Press hard." So I stood there and I pressed hard. And he disappeared. And then all of a sudden, I had an experience. It was an experience I had never had before. I started to jump. I started to make strange utterances. I began to feel as if there were tongues of fire on my head. And I thought to myself, I'm having that experience that half the congregation say I need, and the other half say, "If you have that experience, we're going to leave." As soon as this experience started, it ended, and it was such a letdown. It was an ecstasy that I experienced. And Donnie got out of the car and he said, "It's your fuel." I said, "How do you know that?" He said, "If your car won't start, it's either the spark or the fuel." I said, "I don't know that." He said, "It's not the spark." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Didn't you feel it?" Why do I tell you that story? Well, I've been telling you a story about the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, I think sometimes we have a mental picture that the love and the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and self-control and all those things just happen automatically because the Spirit is at work in you. And so we sort of imagine ourselves as a tree, and we just wait for the fruit of the Spirit to come oozing out of us. But it doesn't work like that. And I'll tell you why. Because while it does say the fruit of the Spirit is love, it also says A new commandment I give you, that you love. So here's the question. Is the fruit of the Spirit the work of the Holy Spirit, or is the fruit of the Spirit the result of your obedience? I mean, it does say the fruit of the Spirit is love, but it also says a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. I'll give you another example. Fruit of the Spirit is joy. You say, oh, great, I got the Holy Spirit in me. I just stand here and joy will come flowing out. Then why does it say rejoice in the Lord? And again, I say rejoice. Yeah, but it said the fruit of the Spirit is peace. So I will just be totally peaceful if the Spirit of God is at work in me. Then why does it say, if it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live at peace with all men? You see, the interesting thing about it is this. The Bible says that it is the activity of the Holy Spirit that is responsible for a quality of life called the fruit of the Spirit. But what releases the activity of the Holy Spirit is your obedience to him. So he tells us to walk in the Spirit, tells us to keep in step with the Spirit. He tells us to live in the Spirit. So what is it? Is it obedience or is it dependence? And the answer is yes. Yes. Now, do you see the connection here? An internal combustion engine will not operate just on a spark. Neither will it operate just on fuel. What it needs is spark and fuel igniting in the chamber. And that releases the power. So here's a little story for you to take away with you. Remember that if your car won't start, it's the spark or the fuel. And you need both, or it won't work. And if you're interested in thinking in terms of living in the Spirit, then remember, it's not just a matter of your obedience, neither is it just a matter of his empowering. It's not either or. It's both and. And there's a whole lot more I could say, but they gave us 50 minutes, and I said, I don't have any 15-minute talks. So that's a 30-minute one, cut short.